Hey guys, this is RuPaul, and I have one thing to say to the Feast of Fools podcast. You bitches better work.
Yay!
Oh my God, that's like, wow, that's delicious. A dream come true.
Wow.
The Feast of Fools is brought to you by generous support of fabulous, glamorous, intelligent, beautiful, and stunning listeners just like you.
We couldn't do the show without your support, so please visit our website, feastoffools.net, make a donation, buy a t-shirt, or simply tell your friends about the show.
Thanks to everyone who contributes to help make this show happen, because without you,
we're nothing. This gay fun show is also brought to you in part by Steamworks, Gym, Sauna, and Baths. Release the pressure!
Saca la presión.
Steamworks. Steamworks is a comfortable and stylish place to meet other men, relax, work out, and play. Open 24 hours a day, 365 days a year to men 18 and over in Berkeley, Chicago, and Toronto.
When you're ready to play, Steamworks is ready for you.
Visit steamworksonline.com and register to get a discount on your next visit. Enter Feast of Fools on the promo code field to get that special discount. Remember,
play hard, play smart.
If you wanna ring my bell.
Hello.
Feast of Fools is wrong. We don't want to be right. Get your booty in high gear, people. The most famous drag queen in the world, RuPaul, joins us for real on today's show.
Well known for her 1993 chart-topping release Supermodel, RuPaul Charles is still going on strong as a drag queen, comedian, musician, and filmmaker.
RuPaul is now touring the country promoting her brand new movie, Star Booty, a revisioning of her original 1987 cult classic inspired by the works of Russ Meyer and John Waters.
Star Booty, Star Booty, Star Booty.
Listen as RuPaul goes back black to her roots to talk about her early years in Atlanta, Georgia.
The cost of superstardom.
Her jousts with celebrities.
Being a lovely lady in a He-Man's world.
And the controversy surrounding her friendship with blackface comedian Shirley Q. Liquor.
You don't want to miss this one.
RuPaul will be in Chicago showing her film Star Booty at Reeling, the Chicago Lesbian and Gay International Film Festival, this Wednesday night at 8 o'clock at the Lakeshore Theater. RuPaul will be there in person after the screening to answer your questions, and an after party at Goose Island Brewery will take place after the show. You're listening to Call Me Star Booty from the original motion picture soundtrack. Both RuPaul's DVD of the film Star Booty and the music from the movie are available for sale through our website, feastoffools.net. I'm Fausto Fernó.
I'm Mark Villian. Stay tuned.
Hi, RuPaul. This is Fausto Fernós.
And Mark Villian from the Feast of Fools podcast. How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic.
Wonderful.
Where are you at?
I'm in Corpus Christi, Texas.
Oh, my God. The birthplace of Selena.
Well, and Farrah Fawcett, of course.
Oh, yeah, Farrah Fawcett.
Are you going to go visit her tombstone and cry a little?
Actually, I didn't visit Selena's tombstone. I did go to this memorial. In fact, I'm actually looking down at her statue memorial right now.
Wow. Oh, wow. Wave hello to her for us.
Hey, Selena.
Do you know what the song she was singing when she died?
Was it Dreaming of You?
No. Ay, 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 como me duele.
Which I don't know if you know Spanish, but that means that hurts.
She got shot. So, RuPaul, you better be careful with your, you know, fan club managers.
I sure will. Now, what city are y'all in?
We're in Chicago, Illinois.
Oh, excellent.
What'd you have for breakfast today?
I had toast.
Oh, just a light toast?
I like toast.
I like burnt toast. In fact, if I could have anything ever, it's always toast. I love toast.
Really?
Cinnamon toast, butter toast, cheese toast. Everything toast, but I love everything. I love it burnt.
I think there's a lot of people out there that really like toast. We have a thread in our community forums, and the thread is I like toast, and there are probably about 300 entries of people talking about why and how they like toast.
Really?
Absolutely.
Yes.
You'll have to chime in.
I think it'd be great to have a toast restaurant, and every table could have its own toaster, and the waiter, you get to choose if you want cinnamon toast or wheat toast or white toast, and there are so many things that you could do with just toast.
How do you feel about those toast racks, like those little racks that people put on their breakfast table that they have little toast standing up in?
I don't know about that. I'm kind of old school. I like the act of putting it in the toaster and pressing it down like you're detonating bomb.
Star Booty is your hot new film out in gay lesbian film festivals around the country, and you're traveling promoting the movie.
Yeah, and it's out on DVD right now. You can get it at Amazon.com, and you could get it at Virgin Megastore, and I think Best Buys, and whatever outlet you get your DVDs at, you can get it there.
Now, your film draws a lot on the past works of Russ Meyer and John Waters. Was the original 1987 version of Star Booty similar to this one?
Yeah, it was done in the same guerrilla style of filmmaking with gratuitous hair and makeup and, lots of nudity that doesn't make any sense to the plot.
Mm-hmm. Well, besides adding more cocks to the movie.
definitely.
Were there cocks? Because this is a remake or a reversioning of an earlier work.
It's the same character, but it's a different plot line. But this time we got bigger cocks in this movie.
Your cock budget
doubled.
What was
the largest penis in your movie?
You know, it's a toss-up because Michael Lucas must be, is he 10 or 11? And then Dean Johnson, who, God rest his soul, he actually passed away before the movie came out.
Oh, I'm sorry
Dean
to hear
Johnson
that.
Johnson is in it, and his dick, it must be 12 inches.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was there any casting couch?
Yeah, there were several casting couches.
I was like, we have to audition you again. Let's talk about the, so what changed it for you in the last, since 1987 to 2007, this is like 20 years later, what was the decision behind remaking this film for you?
Well, when I did the movie years ago, it was done with my brother-in-law's camera, his home video camera, and, it was very guerrilla. It was just pieced together, and I wanted to do it for real this time. And also, our culture has become even more politically correct and more, conservative and fear-based. And I thought, this movie is perfect for that. Because really, the character in the movie, we really get to poke fun at the character who's really self-righteous. Mm-hmm. And this tone that we've taken in our culture of being self-righteous and all that stuff is really dangerous. And I thought it was important to do a film like this. Even though it's for laughs, it really is poignant in the way it pokes fun at our culture.
Well, now you made this character had to become a hooker so that she could rescue her niece from the evil dominatrix Annika Manners. Now, why a hooker? Why not just make her like a coke dealer or a pimp?
Right. Well, I wanted to make her a hooker so that I could wear the clothes. Because the clothes are
It comes
inspired.
Down to fashion.
All yes. Right. The clothes are inspired by the Mary Jane girls. So I get to wear all of those sort of lacy socks and short skirts. And honestly, the movie is constructed just so that my character can do all these different things. There's fights and there's sex scenes and there's a scene where a priest picks up my character and he jacks off while my character farts in his face.
Oh, that was a priest. I thought it was a leprechaun. He had like an Irish accent. Well, really what I found most disturbing was when you had to go down on Lady Bunny.
That would give us the triple X rating right there.
Was there a stunt double for that? I mean, you know.
I wish. It smelled like death down there.
What is it with you New York City drag queens always ragging on each other? It's like,
you know,
we had Hedda Lettuce not tacking Misunderstood the other day.
Well, this is the thing, is that, you know, it's family. And Bunny and I grew up together, so, you know, it's part of her act for other people to rag on her. So, you know, it's purely out of love.
So when I call her an illiterate lowlife, I'm doing it out of love.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, you're following her lead because, you know, that's her act right there.
But in reality, Lady Bunny actually went to college. I mean, you guys were like dorm buddies.
No. Well, maybe in the College of Life. I don't know what college.
Chattanooga.
In Chattanooga. Chattanooga, you. Now, right. Do you see Star Booty as sort of an audition trailer for the next Wachowski brothers film? Because they're kind of, you know, transgendered in some sense.
Right. Too. I don't know.
I'm sure you up.
Well, I'm sure that this movie would be a favorite amongst, with Larry. Is Larry's the one who's at the...
Yeah. I think so, yeah.
We were at a party at his brother's house in Chicago.
Wow.
They live life large,
I have to say. They've made the coins. They really have. But I think Larry would enjoy the film. I think everybody would enjoy it. There's something to offend everyone. There's something to make everyone laugh.
I think the movie, though, would make my mother cry.
In what way?
Because girls of her age didn't do that kind of stuff, is her most common phrase that she likes to throw around.
Yeah, well, you know, she's saying that now.
You're right.
But, you know, when she was that age, you know, I'm sure there was a whole different story.
It must be, though, satisfying to work with some longtime friends like Lady Bunny and Lahoma Van Sant in this movie for you, isn't it?
Yeah, and Candace Cane. It was a lot of fun, and they jumped at the chance of doing it because our culture today is so politically correct, and we all come from the same time where where it's about pushing the envelope and questioning authority. I don't find young people pushing the envelope or questioning authority enough, and hopefully.
Well, it's not like you're a senior citizen yourself, RuPaul.
Well, no, I'm not. But you know, I think all of that has to do with a state of mind, and I think that young kids today, honestly, I think they're too complacent. I think that the iPods and the cell phones have sort of dulled their senses, and they're not pushing it as much as I'd like for them to. And hopefully, they'll be inspired by this movie. I think that's one of the other reasons. My old friends wanted to come together and do this because, you know, we were doing it for real this time. The other Star Booty movie I edited 20 years ago with two VCRs, so it was very, very rough. This one is professionally done, and it looks great, and, you know, it's for real this time.
What is your thought about YouTube and seeing some of your earlier works and, I mean, just seeing derivative works as well as, I'm sure this will be up on YouTube. Soon enough.
I think it's fantastic. In fact, when we were making those movies years ago, 20 years ago and plus, you know, we didn't know it, but on some level we did know that these things would be transferred and kept somehow for generations to come. We didn't know it would be YouTube, but we knew somehow some medium would come along and utilize all of our old footage.
It was when I saw the trailer for Star Booty. I recognized Lahoma Van Sant directly from Pickle Surprise, and it was just like, wow, that's so nice to see you guys working together after so much time.
Yeah. Pickle Surprise, if that was either 1990 or 89, something like that.
But I heard you had to drag her out of retirement. Is that not correct?
She hadn't done anything on stage or in front of a camera in 9 years.
So you were like, come on, Lahoma.
No, she jumped at the chance. I mean, I think she was just really waiting for something that was interesting. Because, you know, our medium for years had been nightclubs. And, you know, she'd given up nightclubs, you know. And especially since in New York, the whole nightclub scene it's pretty much dead. I mean, if you want to get a deal on some baby stroller or some maternity clothes, come to New York.
That's what, in Chicago, it's kind of happening the same thing.
Right.
So our gay neighborhoods are being invaded by baby strollers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just the way things happen. And I say, I say go for it. Rock on. Because, you know, listen, I, Lahoma, myself, Bunny, we've all had our time and ruled the school and the neighborhood for many, many years, and we'll continue to in the different venues that we choose. But I'm all for change. I say bring it on.
And now talk about the scene in the 1980s in Atlanta, Georgia, where sort of your own stage persona was forged. And it certainly was an explosion of music and culture, B-52s, R.E.M. Why was that scene so explosive at the time?
Well, it happened for the Bees and R.E.M. first, and that ignited the imagination of so many other young kids from the Southeast. So we all flocked to Atlanta to sort of hope the same stroke of good luck would happen for us, and it did. And it, because all these kids came together, you know, it created a scene unto itself. And also at that time, there was so much affordable housing in Midtown, and there were so many venues and clubs and old shelled-out buildings that we had the run of the roost, and it was fantastic. And, you know, it, of course, came to an end, as all good things do, but we had a great time while it was happening.
Now, what was going on through your mind when you moved to New York City and you started recording music and your big hit Supermodel came to be what it is today? What did you think that original release was going to be as big as it became?
I knew the song would be a hit as soon as I heard it, because it had all the elements that I had been working on. I had become the big cheese in the underground in Atlanta, in New York, in 1990, and I peaked. So I took 91 off, away from discos, to recreate my image and to work on demo tapes. Well, Larry T, my old friend, saw my new image and said, you should do this Supermodel song. So he came up with the title, and I think he had a few lines of a song. And so he gave that to me and my other songwriting partner, and we, the three of us, came up with this song and the melody, and it just happened. And I knew the concept was right. I always knew that I would be famous. I always knew that, I didn't know it would be in drag and doing all that stuff, but I knew that I would be famous, and I was surprised it took as long as
any kind of hesitation or regrets about being famous as a drag queen?
No, I have no regrets. None. The only regret, I would have sucked more cock. It was the only regret that I, you know.
Well, what held you back?
Well, probably because I was worried that they were going to, you know, report about it in magazines or newspapers. I still, you know, someone, I was on Howard Stern the other day, and they asked about any stars that I've had sex with or any guys who've come on to me. And I told them, you know, when I'm in drag and I'm doing my thing, I'm around security guards. I'm there to do the show, and I'm around my people. When the show is over, I go to the hotel and take everything off. I'm never sort of lingering in drag anywhere, like where somebody could come up to me and say, hey,
I'm
not that accessible.
You don't hang out on street corners dressed in the full regalia.
As cupcake.
Exactly. And that all really ended the day I became famous. And, I used to get, you know, crunked up and terrorize neighborhoods when I wasn't famous. Mm-hmm. But
well, because some drag queen fans of yours show up to the shows and linger around afterwards, and they feel like they can approach you a lot easier than they really cannot, right? I mean,
well, no, I do signings. Like when I'm in Chicago, I'm actually going to do a signing at Circuit Nightclub on Thursday night.
Oh,
at 10 o'clock Thursday night at Circuit Club. What night is that? Is that the
15th,
something like that.
Yeah.
15th or 16th, yeah. Yeah. I will be there, and, you know, people can see me there, and I'm signing copies of the DVD. But for the most part, you know, I don't really hang out, you know, in drag.
So our guest today is RuPaul Charles, I guess, is it right?
Well, that's my real name.
That's your full name, RuPaul Charles, star of Star Booty. Well known for the 1990s music supermodel and music and media mayhem that she's gone throughout the whole year. So you've done morning radio for quite a few years, right?
Yeah, I did it for a long time. I'm not doing it anymore. It's a great medium. It's just been ruined by all the, you know, the corporate interference, you know.
Think about podcasting or doing a web blog, like a video blog like Rosie. I think you'd be, in fact, I saw some of that stuff on the Star Booty website. There's all these wonderful little video clips.
Yes.
And I was thinking, it was like, any thoughts about you just, you know, doing like Rosie, sitting in front of your computer and just talking?
Well, you know, maybe I will. I just started blogging again. I started blogging in 2001, and then I stopped at the beginning of this year, and I just put in my first post last night.
Mm-hmm. A post about toast?
Yes. It was about being in Corpus, birthplace of Farrah Fawcett.
That's right.
I read it. I was like, oh. She,
and we're going to be in Corpus Christi ourselves over the Thanksgiving holiday. So
why?
It was like.
What are you doing down here?
Well, I have some family that lives in a little ranch, and they have a condominium on Padre Island. So we're going to go drive down there and visit with some of our fans. And
it's North
and
it's Padre. Just,
it's a really, you know, Corpus Christi is a very, it's an enigma wrapped up in a sassy Mexican shell. You know. So, RuPaul merchandise. MAC Cosmetics made you the first real-life drag queen supermodel when they launched their sort of cosmetics line. Was there any, were you like, oh my God, my dreams came true? Or was this like a self-fulfilling prophecy for you?
It's a little bit of both. I was very excited, and it was a self. You know, the truth is that we are co-creators with that force, that power that, you know, that I like to call Buddy. Some people call it God or whatever. It really works.
Buddy.
All of these things, and I've had to be very mindful of what I think and what I want, because we're all very powerful gods, if you will. And so, you know, yes, all of these things are things that I wanted. And I dreamt them up, conjured them up, and boom, it happened. And it's amazing. And then, you know, when they happen, you think, okay, quick, think of some new things. Think of some other things. And they're all happening. You know, sometimes they don't happen when you want them to happen, but they will definitely happen.
I mean, was there any sort of problems with the supermodel image? I was reading in some interviews that you sort of like had a, you know, that was kind of became a monkey on your back in a sense.
Well, you know, it stopped me from going into bathroom stalls with strangers, you know.
You know, Cindy Crawford does the same thing.
You know, it became.
What
know,
supermodel does not have sex in public?
Is that really what one of the biggest drawbacks to fame is, not being able to get it on with people?
Well, your accessibility. I mean, because, you know, when I'm in drag, I get a lot of attention. And with a lot of attention, it takes a lot of energy to conduct that kind of attention. So, you know, for me personally, I love being able to take it off, because I wouldn't be able to be the observer that I am on this planet if people were all just observing me. Mm-hmm. You know, so I can do it, you know, for, you know, a few hours, blah blah blah, and then I want to go and take it off. There's a lot of responsibility that comes with it too, because people are looking at you. I mean, look what's happening now with these young stars in Hollywood. It's like there's all this attention on them, and how are they going to be able to maneuver or gather up the information they need to for their evolution if people are everybody's looking at them.
How can a girl, how can Lindsay Lohan shoot up heroin on her palms of her feet, you know? When the world is paying attention, indeed.
Well, and you took a hiatus yourself in your career from 2001 to 2004. You said you took a little hiatus for spiritual growth.
Absolutely. I had, you know, sometimes the fire gets too hot. Mm-hmm. And I think for everyone, you have to step away from it to be able to not only appreciate it, but mm-hmm. to be able to gather up the new information.
Well, what kind of new information were you able to gather up?
Well, that I am a lovely friend and a lovely uncle.
Aww.
And that I know how to laugh and have fun without having to, you know, without having to have a cocktail.
Because you've been sober for how long now?
It's been 8 years.
And what was that transition period for you like?
Well, it was a period of really understanding, remembering who I really am. And you know, it's very easy to get carried away with what everybody else thinks you are. And so I got connected to the source again. And actually every day is a process of remembering who I, you, we really are. And so it was a great experience. Mm-hmm. It's not the easiest experience in the world to come face to face with who you are, but it's still very fulfilling.
And where do you think this is all taking you? I mean, like, where would you like to be in a couple years from now?
Oh, I don't know. You know, the practice of remembering who you really are is really about being in this moment and understanding this moment. Where it takes me, I'm not quite sure. It's not really important, but right now I am just loving it. I'm looking over this balcony over this bay in Corpus Christi. It's gorgeous. I'm going to do a show tonight. I went to, did a little used CD shopping, which is my passion, mm-hmm. here in Corpus about a couple of hours ago, and it couldn't be better. This is, well, the only thing that would make it better is if you know, I had some gorgeous Mexican cock in my mouth right now.
You're in Corpus. You should be able to get it somewhere, right?
Attention, listeners. RuPaul is...
Well, on
Monday, this is going on Monday, so where are you going to be on Monday?
On Monday, I will be traveling from San Antonio back to New York.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of hunky, hot listeners want to get it on with you.
Yeah, but the thing is that when they think of me, when I want to get it on, it has nothing to do with my stage persona. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just...
Oh, we call it Paris syndrome.
Because you look like a woman, but you make love like a man.
That's right.
Because the first time I heard of you, RuPaul, I was working in Germany in an army base. And somebody showed me a picture of this guy in the Stars and Stripes, the military newspaper, and said, doesn't this kind of look like our friend Dave? I said, yeah, it does. And then he moved his hand away from the other side of the picture, and it was you and Dragon. I was like, wow.
Well, I remember Arsenio Hall talking about Eddie Murphy wanting to be set up on a date with you. And Arsenio told Eddie Murphy that, no, you got it wrong. That's a guy. And Eddie Murphy was like, I don't care. Did that date ever happen?
Be careful what you
say. No comment on
that. Be careful what you say, because you know what happened to that one he got caught with?
She got murdered, right?
She
accidentally fell off the ceiling mm-hmm. of her building.
Yes, yes, yes. No, I'm actually going to go on record saying that date never happened.
Okay, that's good for you.
Oh, my God. So what was the when you were casting or developing Star Booty, was there any kind of discussion about bringing your friend Shirley Q. Laker onto the film role and really, you know, charging with even more offensive?
Absolutely. Actually, all along, I had Shirley Q. slated to do the narration on the film.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, after we edited it and got it together, it was, you know, it was clear it didn't need narration. I was going to use narration as a last draw if the story didn't work and it needed some prodding along, you know. But you know, the story worked fine and it was easy to follow, so I didn't need the narration.
Well, what's your opinion of the character Shirley Q. Laker and the controversy that surrounds that character?
I love it. People really need to take a chill pill, and people really aren't sophisticated enough to know that when a person is coming from a place of love as opposed to coming from a place of hate. Shirley Q. Liquor is so clearly coming from a place of love. And there are people who are coming from a place of hate. And even if people are coming from a place of hate, so what? They have the right to do whatever they want to do. And this is another thing. This is an important point, is that other people aren't responsible for your feelings. Only you are. And you have to have thick skin. Everybody's looking for an opportunity to be offended. Now, if I called you a green Martian, would you be offended?
Yes.
My guess is that you wouldn't be, because you know that you're not a green Martian. But if you thought you were a green Martian, you probably would be offended. And because you have shame surrounding the fact that you're a green Martian. So my point is, Shirley Q. Liquor clearly is coming from a place of love.
Well, how do you know that she's coming from a place of love? Because you have a personal relationship with her, or you can tell this from her act?
No, from my gut. And this is what each parent needs to teach their children, which is what they don't do. But everybody has an indicator in their gut that says whether something is coming from a place of love or not. And when you hear the detail of how she does the voice, you couldn't do that kind of detail without
sucking a lot of black cock.
Right, without either that or studying black people so much with so much time that you, because she's undetectable. Listen, I grew up around all black folks, the whole thing. She doesn't say one word, because, of course, Shirley Q. Liquor is a white man, a minister, by the way, a Quaker minister.
A minstrel minister?
A minstrel minister.
Well, minstrel's not really the right word for it. But, she's completely unclockable with it.
Is this sort of because when I see white gay guys responding to Shirley Q. Liquor's work, that's when I start getting uncomfortable, and I see sort of, I don't see the hate in her act as much as I see the hatred in the audience.
Well, but that's really none of her business, people, there is self-loathing out there, and there is hatred out there. Do we have to go after it? Listen, people are our teachers. People are we're all here in process. So do we need to speed people along with their process? No, we are to learn from other people's process. But it's not about, going and telling people, you can't say the N-word. Well, that makes me want to say the N-word.
So it's like that funeral that the NAACP had for the N-word, do you think that was bogus?
That day?
Do I what about it?
Did you wear black that day?
No, I did not wear black that day. I went around calling everybody nigga, 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 nigga. In fact, on one of the songs on my soundtrack to Star Booty, the lyric is just nigga, 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 nigga. The only lyric in the song is nigga.
Well, I mean, I'm sensing a certain thing that you've kind of had this love-hate relationship with this mega stardom that you've had.
No, I love it.
And that you're trying to you're going to love me, you're going to love me for 100% of me.
Well, there is only one me, and that's 100% of me. Whether people love me or not, listen, I'm going to quote Little Kim here. Like, asking them to earn, that's none of my concern.
There you go.
If people love me, I prefer it when people love me, but they don't have to. They're in their own process. Mm-hmm. But, I know I love my fame and all the gifts I've been given, and I'm so grateful for them. I'm so grateful that people are still care enough, to pay to see me. If they didn't, I'd still be doing my thing. This doesn't hinge on on people loving me or not. It hinges on whether I'm having a good time. And if I'm not having a good time, I need to take myself out of it and do something that excites me. My biggest challenge in my career is, or my life, is to stay interested.
Do you get tired of people coming up? I'm sure you get every time you go out in public, somebody goes up to you and says, RuPaul, I got one thing to say. You know, and you know where the rest comes. What do you respond to that?
I smile, and I know that what they're really saying is, I recognize you, and I see you, and I recognize the God self in you. You know?
That's really what you say? Like, I see the God self in you?
No, that's what they're saying to me.
Okay.
I mean, they're saying those words, but they're basically, they want to say something. You know, people always say, wow, you're tall, or mm-hmm. how long does it take you to get ready? Or, you know, they say a lot of the same things because mm-hmm. they don't know what else to say. I know that they want to say something. Mm-hmm. They want to recognize the God self mm-hmm. in me. And so I understand what they're really saying.
They're dazzled by the glitter and the hair.
Yeah, well, they mm-hmm. want to recognize me. They want to acknowledge me. And that's what it's really about.
Well, you broke that glass ceiling there was for a lot of drag queens and sort of African-American gay men in general in entertainment. I mean, you know, you are a Rosa Parks in a lot of sense, or I don't know exactly who to compare you to, because you're a unique and original person.
You're definitely a trailblazer, that's for
sure.
Yeah,
we want to salute. You know, it's like, where is your Presidential Medal of Honor?
Well, no,
God damn it.
You know what? You just gave it to me. You just gave it to me.
Well, I'm not the President of the United States.
Well,
you know, if Hillary gets elected, she needs to give it to you the first thing she gets walking into that office.
Well, you know, I am happy just knowing that you feel that way, and you know, whether that happens or not, that's, you know,
I think a lot of people feel that way.
Well, that's very nice, but it's not I'm not going to hold my breath, and it's not something that I have to have or need. I'm happy to be just here talking to you right now.
It's a dream come true for us, that's for sure.
Yeah, we were trying so hard to book you in the past that we actually had a drag queen impersonate you on the show. But let's talk about the controversy backstage with you and Milton Berle in 1993.
How long ago was 1993?
That was a
14
while
years
back.
Ago. I want to know.
The late comedian who was well known for dressing up in drag, and you guys were together at the, MTV Music Awards, right?
If you say so.
You don't remember.
It's so long.
Well, it's on your Wikipedia. It's one of the big things on your Wikipedia entry. You know, you were on stage.
I never looked at my Wikipedia thing, and a lot of they say, if I read the good reviews and believe them, I have to also believe the bad reviews. I never look at that stuff, you know.
But I mean, so you were on stage, and Milton Berle said, "I used to wear women's diapers." I used to wear women's clothes, and you said, "What do you wear now? Diapers." And I that's what I would have said. You know. RuPaul?
So, I said it.
And I mean, was it?
But you took some flack for
you
that.
You took
right?
a lot of shit for it, you know?
Every time I bat my my false eyelashes, it's a political statement. I mean, doing drag in a patriarchal culture is akin to an act of treason. And it's the most, it's really the last taboo. So, you know, taking flack, you know, it just comes with the territory.
Now, because you were saying that you were sort of disappointed by the mainstream press in terms of your music releases, specifically 2004 for Red Hot, that they was that Entertainment Magazine didn't want to actually listen to your music. They wanted you to write a funny little article.
No, what happened was they wanted me to be a commentary on, you know, on, you know, whoever the cover of their magazine was, you know. And I wrote a very profound quote there, and it was, and it had more to do with, actually, you'd have to read the quote. It's one of the better things I wrote, because, you know, it was gay people in our culture, especially male gay people, are accepted if they are there to enhance or work for to make straight people look good. Queer Eye for the Straight Guy is not a show about gay people. It's for the straight guy. It's for straight people, and that's why it's accepted. And so, you know, and even Will and Grace was straight people pretending to be gay or whatever, you know. So my point here is that it's like inviting a black person to the party, but only if they would serve the food. It's like, you can come, but we want you to serve the food.
But, I mean, is it hard to be taken seriously when a lot of your work is sort of comedic in nature? I mean...
I don't care about being taken seriously. That has nothing to do with me. I am what I am, you know. But, a lot of people don't get different layers. A lot of people don't get irony. They don't get... Borat had to explain to people that, Sacha Baron Cohen would say, look, I'm Jewish. These jokes are my way of making fun of racism and racist. I mean, this is the culture we're living in. It's not, most people don't get irony. So you have to spell out the joke to people.
Did they used to get it? Did we lose something? Have people always been stupid?
No, I think that there was a time when satire and people really got... people got irony. I think there was a time when we as a culture were a little brighter, actually a lot brighter. You know, young people, you see, young people today are consumed with this American Idol idea that everybody is going to be a star and that all you have to do is get discovered. So you go to the Best Buy or you go to some store and the person working there can't tell you a fucking thing about the products they're selling because they're waiting to be discovered because this isn't their real job. Their real job is coming later. So they don't realize that we're all in this together. We're all a part of this. And
then you wind up shaving your head and forgetting to feed your kids and your husband takes the kids away.
Well, you know, that could happen. But I think there was a time when we were more connected and we were more on the ball. Everybody now is on an antidepressant or consumed with what's coming through their telephone or their iPod or whatever, and people aren't really here.
Wise words.
So say hi to the listeners.
So here we're having a virtual press conference with you, our listeners, and through AOL Instant Messenger, Feast of Fools, the number 4, the letter U, with RuPaul.
And
first
through
question,
our website.
And through our website's community forums. Mm-hmm. Jeremy in Texas asks RuPaul, do you think that the passing of the Anti-Discrimination Workplace Act without the inclusion of transgendered people was the right thing to get things rolling and moving on?
Oh, I have no idea.
Okay, I have a question from Lakeith, who's on the down low, and he wants to know, if you could go back into the 90s and relive it, what would you change?
I don't regret anything. I don't like going back unless it's to laugh at something or to remember something that's really funny. But I don't have any regrets. I wouldn't change anything.
Wonderful. And Bretzi wants to know how your song Looking Good, Feeling Gorgeous ended up as the theme song for The Biggest Loser.
They heard it and they thought it was a great anthem for people who are looking to lose weight.
And Mike Detroit wants to know, how do you fight burning out on doing drag?
You have to stay interested in what you're doing. I took many years away from performing to just, to rejuvenate my spirit and everything. And coming back to it, I'm really proud and blessed to still be able to do it and still look okay doing it.
Have you ever felt like when you took that time off, did you feel like there was a burnout in doing drag?
Well, I was really burnt out with just the pace of work that I was doing. I had worked so hard to get worldwide recognition, and when it happened, you've got to work. You've got to make it. You've got to do all those gigs, and you've got to work. Mm-hmm. And that's what I did. And then it was time for me to just take a step back because if you're Dorothy and you're trying to get to Oz, once you get there, do you keep going back there, or where do you go from there? So you have to, first you enjoy Oz and you
fool around with
the
scarecrow.
ET321 wants to know, have you ever been to the White House of the United States or met the Queen of England?
Neither.
Anyone but Julian asks, what kind of superpowers do you have? What kind of superpowers do you have, RuPaul?
I have the ability I have a psychic ability in being able to read a situation and to feel a person's spirit.
RuPaul, Myall 1975 asks, "What's on your iPod?"
Well, I have the 160 gig, and so I have about maybe 17,000 songs on mine, maybe more. But this morning I was listening to my Diane Warren playlist, which had some of the ballads, the R&B ballads that she's written. I have two Diane Warren playlists. One is the more rock stuff, and the other is R&B ballads. And some of the songs I was listening to was my favorite Diane Warren song, which is Arms of the One Who Loves You, which is a song by Escape.
Wonderful. We'll have to put a link to that on our website.
Now we have the Breakdown 2007. Yeah. RuPaul, questions we've asked every single celebrity, king and queen, peasant and pauper on this show in 2007. And RuPaul, your task here is to get it deep into your subconscious by answering these questions quickly.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Ru, what's your favorite color?
Orange.
Food?
Mexican.
Would you please describe yourself as a fancy shade of paint?
A fancy shade of pink?
Paint.
Oh, orange sunrise.
When you were a kid, what did you want to grow? What did the little girl from the Brewster Project want to be when she grew up?
A race car driver.
Wow. What was the name and species of your favorite pet?
A dog.
What's the biggest misconception people have about you?
I'm a bitch.
What's your best feature?
My laughter.
What turns you on in a man?
His eyes.
If you could change one thing about yourself, what would it be?
My my dark side.
What's the best thing that happened to you recently?
I met Trina.
Who's that?
The rapper, the baddest bitch, the queen of Miami.
Oh, okay, wonderful. What's the worst thing that's happened to you recently?
A flight delay.
Okay.
Do you have any financial advice for us, the listeners? What should we be investing in?
Invest in things that you like.
Okay. What would you like to see Oprah Winfrey doing in 5 years?
Touring the country on a bus.
If you could travel back in time and meet anybody, who would it be?
I would not travel back in time. I would just meet Judge Judy, who is the person I admire the most.
What makes you mad?
Ignorance.
If your vagina wrote its own monologue, what would it say?
It said, "Come visit me."
What are you addicted to?
Pop-Tarts.
What musical instruments do you play?
My lips.
What's for dinner?
Lasagna.
And what happens to us when we die?
We continue on and on and on and on.
Aww.
RuPaul, thank you so much for talking to us today. You're absolutely a generous and gorgeous individual. I'm so glad that you're still working and going on strong.
Thank you so much, and hopefully, I'll get to see you guys Thursday night at Circuit Club.
We'll definitely stop by there.
Definitely.
Hey, will you do me a favor?
Mm-hmm.
Will you say, "This is RuPaul, and when I'm not busy working the runway, I like to listen to the Feast of Fools podcast."
Feast of Fools podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Hey, guys, this is RuPaul, and I have one thing to say to the Feast of Fools podcast. You bitches better work.
Yay! Oh my god, that's like
wow,
that's
delicious.
A dream come true.
Wow.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful time in Corpus Christi and travel across the United States.
Thank you, sweetheart.
Eat some nice Mexican when you're down there.
Food or men or whatever.
You know, that's what Circuit Nightclub is. That's like the Mexican hangout. So.
Oh, really?
Yes. A hot Hispanic men hang out there.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
So, you know what I'm saying? You might want to leave that dressing room door a little bit open.
That's right. That's Latina night.
It is Latina, yes.
Latina and Latino.
My Latino friend used to go, "Vamos, Mark, let's go. Hay un cho. There's a cho there." And so I go, "Okay,
con
Martina.
RuPaul." Bienvenidos, RuPaul. Thank you so much for talking to us today.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
RuPaul Charles is a brand new movie.
Star Booty,
a remake of the, reversioning of the 1987 original film is available for sale on his website, RuPaul.com. Mm-hmm. And through our website, feastoffools.net, we highly recommend you get it.
It's fun.
If you like Russ Meyers, if you like crazy drag like queens and cocks.
There's a little divine inspiration in there, too, huh?
There's a lot of divine in there, yeah. So it was really wonderful talking to RuPaul. So.
I know. I feel like I have a new best friend.
I know. She always makes you feel that way.
Yeah, is that what it is?
And then the wig comes off.
Yeah, the whip, you better work. She started talking, like, we have to remix it when she says you better work. Or you have to work. Remember when she said that? I had to contain myself from laughing.
That was so exciting.
I know, I was just like... If somebody can cut that out and rework it for us, I'd
love my
it.
God! Yeah, you have to make the Feast of Fools supermodel remix. Well, we want to remind you that you can visit our website, feastoffools.net, and post a comment. Mm-hmm. What do you think about RuPaul's and the controversy surrounding Shirley Kulaker and are gay people like tuned out to society? You know, RuPaul is asking you to step up to the plate, America.
Mm-hmm.
They want you to be sassy, brassy, and bold.
To think
for yourselves.
Mm-hmm. And don't be a gay zombie. And, also, what else is going on? Gay bloggies?
The gay bloggies are in full swing right now, so go to gaybloggies.com and
give
vote.
Give Fausto the thumbs up.
Give me the thumbs up, write a comment. I am in a cage fight for my life.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a blog, celebrity blog off, and it's me between 12 other bloggers.
Blogging off.
And so we're gonna duke it out on the internet and see who wins.
I know.
And I have some tough competition. I have tough competition, I do.
Right.
But you know what? I have coins in my boxing gloves.
You sure do.
Ooh, we got a lot of Feast of Fools goodie box to give away, Mark Felian.
You sure do.
You know, Christmas is just around the corner, or Hanukkah, or Tet, or all the holiday season. Kwanzaa, you know.
Ramadan. Ramadan, you know, ding dong.
And of course, there's Festivus for those Seinfeld fans. And, you know, so it's a great time to get little Feast of Fools goodie box, which is a collection of some CDs and music and t-shirts and merchandise.
False eyelashes and makeup.
And Sally's junk drawer.
Yes. His delicious junk drawer.
And there's some good stuff. There's like MAC cosmetic stuff
in
there.
I might throw an old wig in there too.
We're going to throw, you can be a sassy diva at home. If you just like work the runway, sweetie, on your own dime in your own time.
And you can win one of these by commenting on this show or other shows. And we were randomly going to give away 8 during the month of November.
And we're also giving away tickets to the World of Chocolate.
We are.
And to some movies of the Gay and Lesbian Film Festivals later on this week. So
stay tuned for that information.
Yeah. So it's all through the comments. That's all you got to do. You know. Did you know that we're on Twitter? We are. Twitter.com/Feast of Fools. You can learn about us behind the scenes, what it takes to make the world's greatest gay podcast.
And we also have another Twitter account. It's twitter.com/insults. So if if your self-esteem isn't low enough, we'll make it lower. But I think there's some of them are witty and fun. Some of them are just really mean. But you can use them on your boss or your mother-in-law, children.
You know, the cool thing about the Twitter insults is that you can subscribe to it through your cell phone.
Right.
And so when you need that insult right there in the moment just don't want to say, shut up, Becky. Uh-huh.
Or if you want some sympathy from someone, just be like, look what this person just said to me. And they'll be like, what a jerk. And they'll be like, I know.
Just make sure your thumb is covering the part that says Twitter insults.
Oh, does it come up like that?
Yeah.
Oh, I
see. So, you know. Oh, baby. Definitely get yourself the RuPaul Star Booty DVD. It's available on our website. All you got to do is featured movie, featured music, and you can get it in your hot little hands ASAP.
Mm-hmm. It's a fun movie. Check it out. Definitely.
And
check
we
it
encourage
out.
You to break the mold, to rattle the cages of the world.
Think for yourself.
No, actually, we want you to not think for yourself.
Just do what Oprah tells you.
Yeah. Do what RuPaul tells you and think for yourself.
All right, that's good. I'm going to leave it at that.
Okay, everybody. We love you so much. You're fantastic people. Why? Because you listen to the Feast of Fools podcast.
We're closing, man.
Oh. Sorry, a second.
That's okay.
The Feast of Fools is also brought to you in part today's show by Steamworks Gym, Sauna, and Baths.
Release the pressure.
Saca la presión. Steamworks.
Steamworks is a comfortable and stylish place to meet other men, relax, work out, and play. Open 24 hours a day, 365 days a year to men 18 and over in Berkeley, Chicago, and Toronto.
When you're ready to play, Steamworks is ready for you.
Visit steamworksonline.com and register to get a discount on your next visit. Enter Feast of Fools on the promo code field to get that discount. Remember,
play hard, play smart. That's right. All you got to do is post the Feast of Fools in the promo code field. And you may not live in Chicago, you may not live in Berkeley, you may not live in Toronto.
But you're going to go there someday.
Someday. And you know, those coupons are good to have. You never know when they're going to give you like a plane ticket for two to paradise.
Berkeley. And you'll be like, I'm in Berkeley.
Yeah, two tickets to paradise are a lot cheaper than you think they may be. Mm-hmm. All it takes is getting into Steamworks and there you're in paradise. Where the water fountain and the men have big dicks and the star booty flows freely from the water fountain.
Wonderful.
Well, thank you so much for listening, everybody.
Thank you all.
Bye. RuPaul's DVD.
Get it today.
Get it today. Bye.
Be the boss.
Gone now.
Miss Rob.